3, it says, He was despised and rejected by man. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was a cause for our iniquities. He was oppressed and He was afflicted like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shearers is silent. So He opened not His mouth. Tonight we are here to remember our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 13. Page number is from our Bible is 1056. Before reading the text, let's pray together. And Heavenly Father, thank You for our very special night tonight. We could be really busy taking care of things, our business, our lives, and the worldly life. But thank You so much for bringing us here tonight to remember Your sacrifice for us. If we really know the meaning of Your death, this night is very special to us, Lord. Lord, thank You so much for the text that we're going to look at today. And help us to focus on Your word, to find Jesus Christ that we know from the Bible, our Savior. Also bless my lips as I'm going to unfold Your story, so that we will all experience Your presence, Your mercy, Your grace through Your word, Your scriptures. And bless us, we pray, Your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 26, verses 1 through 13. When Jesus had finished all these things, He said to His disciples, You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill Him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to Him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on His head, and He reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me, for you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed, in the whole world, what she once has done will also be told in the memory of her. This is the word of God. Our Lent series is from Book of Matthew. Tonight is, I think, number 7. Last Sunday was number 6. And the Sunday morning will be number 8. And then Sunday sunrise service will be from different text, which is the 1 Corinthians. I think that was a good time. There will be a good time for us to look at Paul's argument on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we are very excited to look at another text from Matthew and people in the story, how they met the Lord Jesus Christ and their stories. And we will review our hearts and faith before God. Now, Matthew 26 and 27 tells us the passion story that we already know. So make us really humble and excited, which is an account of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the passion story is the climax of all four Gospels. They writing all different stories to go to this top of the mountain. Now, Matthew starts our story, the passion story, with what Jesus said to the disciples in verse 2. That's very interesting. And you know that after 2 days, the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. If someone is saying to you that, brothers, sisters, 2 days later, I'm going to die. And then probably you think that that's really serious. But it was not like that. The disciples didn't act like that. But the Passover is the day for the Israelites to celebrate the deliverance of Israelites from the Egypt. So it's a very special day. Now the most important thing of the Passover was a sacrifice, to sacrifice a lamb, then eating the sacrifice, the lamb at home with family members. So lots of meaning there, Jesus Christ says. 2 days the Passover is coming. And Jesus connects the Passover with his death in verse 2. And that Jesus is about to lay down his life for his people. As a sacrifice of lamb was remembered as a freedom from their slavery in Egypt. Now here Jesus, who is the greater sacrifice, is about to give his precious life to set us free, set free his people from the bondage of sins. So only verse 2 gets lots of meaning. But as I said, did the disciple understand what Jesus said? They didn't. They didn't understand. And we will see what happened to them later in the story. Now here Matthew brings our attention, after seeing verse 2, brings our attention to the leaders of Israel. Now we talked about them last week, the chief priest and the elders of the people in verse 3. It says, the chief priest and the elders of the people gather in the place of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. Now the chief priest and the elders of the people means the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin council is in Jerusalem, the Israel people of 71 members located in Jerusalem. Now these leaders of God's people, they were teamed up to kill one man. His name is Jesus Christ. And verse 4, and plotted together in order to arrest Jesus by stealth, secretly, and then kill him. As we already discussed about this situation last week Sunday, their meeting was illegal from the beginning. Now, if they wanted to kill and charge against Jesus, they had to have a meeting at the temple during the daytime, not Caiaphas' personal home. 71 people, the scholars believe that not all 70 people came, but majority of Sanhedrin members came to his house. Why? They meet at night. Simple reason. Matthew clearly points out that their evil mind, evil intention was, verse 4, to kill him. To stealth and kill him. Now the word stealth is in Greek, is taking advantage through craft and deceit and cunning. So something is going on in their hearts. And verse 4 explains their intention, why they want to kill Jesus Christ secretly, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now look at this verse, interesting. They know that why, how people responded to Jesus Christ. Interestingly, they were afraid of people. They were not afraid of God at all, but they were afraid of the people. Now many people came from different reasons to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And then based on the gospel, which is Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and John, the people were surprised by Jesus and his teaching and all the miracles he performed. So surely people thought that he's different. Jesus could be the Messiah who could save us from the hands of our enemies. So the leaders of the Israel knew that the people would get very angry at them if they could arrest Jesus Christ during the daytime. So they know what's going on right now. They also know that what people said that when Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one, he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the leaders of Israel, they knew what's going on. But they wanted to kill Jesus Christ. Why? For their own benefits, to secure their positions and assets and what they have. Caiaphas was appointed by the Romans as the high priest, but he didn't want to lose his job. So he had to kill Jesus, who became so popular and people call him as a king. Jesus was a threat to him and his friends and his position. That's why he secretly wanted to arrest Jesus and kill him. Now, while the disciples didn't understand what Jesus said in verse 2, 2 days later, I will die. They didn't understand. While the leaders of Israel plotted to kill Jesus because they knew what's going on, and people say, he could be the Messiah. They didn't care. Now, Matthew brings your attention, my attention, to a woman in Bethany. Now, Jesus was anointed by this woman. That is a really beautiful story. All four Gospels tell the story of the anointing of Jesus by a woman. Now, Matthew and Mark didn't tell her name, so we don't know her name right now. But Luke tells that she was a sinful woman. In Luke chapter 7, verse 37. But John tells her name, Mary. Now, how did Mary know Jesus Christ? Based on the Gospels, all different Gospels, four Gospels, Mary lived in Bethany with her family. We know her family, Martha, and her brother Lazarus. So she lived in Bethany, which is 2 miles from Jerusalem, very close to Jerusalem. So from John's story, we know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. It's a famous story. So she knew Jesus Christ, and Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and Mary and her sister Martha already knew Jesus Christ at the time. This is what Martha said to Jesus, John 11, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They knew what Jesus could do. They knew that Jesus was able to save his brother, because he's the Messiah. Now, Luke also tells an interesting story about Mary. That when Jesus was teaching, Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. Now, look at this text, and I found a very interesting word. The Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. What I found is the word sat is just sitting there, but she sat herself before the feet of Jesus Christ. So that's her desire. She wanted to learn more about Jesus and his teaching. And then the Greek text clearly shows us her desire and in faith of sitting beside Christ. So from Luke's story and from John's story, we know that Mary had a faith in Jesus Christ. Mary knew that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, Matthew and Mark describe Mary's house as the house of Simon the leper. That's an interesting description. Now, scholars believe that Simon was Mary's father, who had a leprosy disease and healed by Jesus Christ. So many things are happening in her house. Brother lived again, her father healed by Jesus Christ. Probably Simon at the time here in the story, the leper was dead already when Jesus visited them again before his crucifixion. Now, based on the Gospel's story, we clearly see that Mary had a very special relationship with Jesus Christ. She wanted to sit in front of Jesus Christ and want to learn more about things. And Jesus healed her father, Simon the leper, and Jesus raised her brother Lazarus from the dead. Now, Jesus visited her home again before his death. That's our text. Did Mary know what is going to happen to Jesus Christ later? Probably she didn't exactly know what will happen to him. However, she believed what Jesus said before, what he said about his coming death, his upcoming death. So Mary knew that it was the last moment to see him. It's the very last moment to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. She had to do something. The Matthew now says that Mary came to Jesus with holding an alabaster flask jar in her hands while he was eating with his disciples. Then she poured oil on his head. Now the house was filled with a fragrance. It's obvious that. Now we may be surprised by her behavior. How could you do that? But the pouring oil among the Jews was common at the time. It's not something weird. If a guest comes for a meal, oil was provided to pour on guests' hands. So what she was trying to do, what she did was not an unusual thing at the time. But the problem, real problem is not the oil, but the value of the oil that she poured on Jesus' head. Now let's think about the meaning of her action of pouring the most expensive oil on the head of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that oil was used in the Old Testament when kings were anointed. In 2 Kings, especially 9 and 6, it says that. So we also know the meaning of the Messiah, that is, the Anointed One. So it was obvious for Mary, she had to dump something, then she had to pour oil. Pouring oil on Jesus Christ to tell the people that he is the King, he is the Messiah. King of kings and Lord of lords, Revelation 19 and verse 16. She knows that Jesus was Messiah, the Savior, the promised one from the Old Testament. So what she did was right thing before the eyes of Jesus Christ. What she did was showing her faith and proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah. Now here she didn't just come with a cheap oil from the market, but she came with the very expensive, the best oil, because Jesus was the special to her. The Messiah, the King of the nation. The King of the nation should be anointed with the best oil, not oil from the market. So pouring oil indicates her strong faith and her devotion to Christ. Another question that I raised during my sermon preparation was, how did Mary save this kind of oil? It's so expensive. Now, based on Luke's story, she was a sinner, so it means her life wasn't good at all to have that very expensive oil. Now, Mary and her family were not rich people. Bible didn't say anything about it. It means that she probably took years to save that expensive oil. Maybe probably her family helped her. But the thing is that there was no hesitation for her bringing that expensive and broke the jar and then pour on Jesus Christ. And no one did the same thing like Mary did. And from the Bible, it says it's really expensive. It's about 1 year of salary. Literally, she gave everything to Jesus Christ to let the world know that the Messiah is here. And she believed what Jesus said. Therefore, what Jesus said is right. Her action is the most beautiful thing in the Bible. Now, we know that not everyone was happy with her action in the story. The disciples were angry at her. And Mark tells that they scolded her, rebuking. And in our text, verse 9, they said, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. Now we found a reason why they were angry at her. Because it was very expensive. Very expensive. And John talks about the value of the oil in John 12:5. He said, why was this ointment was not sold for the 300 denarii and given to the poor? It was more than 300 denarii. Now, one denarius was the daily wage given to a common worker at the time. So if we sum up 300 denarii, it's more than a year. a year's wages for a regular man. So this is their logic, the disciples' logic. They have been watching the life of Jesus Christ, and his life was very simple. He didn't collect all the money and treasures. Although Jesus Christ was popular and people came to him at the time, and he himself didn't have a house to stay. And Jesus always taught the disciple to take care of the poor people. So in their logic, the disciples, oh no, she just wasted 300 denarii. That is kind of logical thinking. Mary's action was considered wasting. And they said she could have sold the oil for helping the poor people. That's right. But John tells more about their deep inside of hearts, especially Judas' hearts. When Judas saw her action, he was really upset and scolded her. And then John describes why Judas was angry. And in John 12:6, he said this, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Now Judas started to complain about her action, and pretty sure the rest of the disciples followed his complaining. Why, you're right. We can use money for the poor people. But here, what Matthew portrays here is, in the story is, it's not about the value of the oil and how much it will be, but their lack of their faith in Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus said that just few, maybe minutes or few hours ago, the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. If someone says in front of you, I'm going to die 2 days later, and what would you do? They heard what Jesus said. If they truly, truly knew and understood the meaning of his death, Jesus Christ's death, and her action for Jesus Christ, if they truly, truly believed what Jesus has said about his crucifixion, the disciples should have appreciated her action at this moment. They should have said that, thank you for doing this for my Lord, my Christ. But they didn't know anything about the death of Jesus Christ, even though Jesus told them what is going to happen. That makes our hearts breaking tonight. Because we are caught up with so many things around us, so many things of the world, business of our church and your life. But we simply forget the meaning of his death on the cross in our everyday daily life, and his sacrifice on the cross for us. Like the disciples, many, many times Jesus said that, but we're so busy. The woman who was considered as a sinner was different. She didn't care about the price of the oil. She didn't care about what other people would say. But she did care about her Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. She wanted to prepare the death of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. She wanted to honor Christ because she knew that he was about to give his life for the people. Sadly, Mary's faithful and devoted action in her heart to Christ was waste. Waste in the eyes of the disciples. Now, what about Jesus Christ? Now, while the disciples were grumbling about her action, now Jesus gently rebuked them and then defended Mary in verse 10. Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. And verse 12, in pouring this ointment on my body, She has done it to prepare me for burial. And verse 13, truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. That's why we are hearing this same story and over and over and over. We're still talking about her faith. As Jesus was preparing his journey to the cross in chapter 26, and we met three different types of people in the story. The chief priest and the elders of the people, who were only caring about themselves and their honors and power and things of the world. They knew that the Messiah is coming, but they didn't care about that. They are the ones who had to teach about the Messiah to the people. But when people say, Hosanna, Hosanna, but they just wanted to cover and then they just wanted to deny all the truth. The second group of people is this disciple. They did not understand their teacher's teaching at all. In our chapter later on, Jesus said again, one more time, I'm going to die. They didn't get the meaning. They didn't understand the meaning of the Passover, the sacrifice. But here in the story, Mary, a sinner before God, and people looked down on her. People ignored her, yelled at her action. But she showed her heart and faith, devotion to Christ. She poured the most expensive, valuable oil on Christ to prepare the death of Jesus Christ. Now, where do we find ourselves in the story? In our daily lives, not just only the Good Friday or Easter Sunday, we are preparing our hearts for the Lord. Or every day we are doing the same thing. What is the meaning of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross to you and me? That is something that we have to remember. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12 says, but when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, today is the most important day for us because we hear the death of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're going to hear the most important day on Resurrection Sunday, but so far today is really important for all of us. Why we are here? Because this is our kind of habit, tradition. We come to church Good Friday, Sunday night to worship God. No, this is a very special night to look at how people reacted. Maybe that's you and me. Maybe we are like the chief priest. Maybe we are like the disciples. For 3 years, Jesus taught them. 3 years, Jesus said something about his death, but they didn't get it. Did you get it? He died for you. He died to forgive our sins. He died to remove our sins from us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for our journey to the cross. As we are wrapping up our stories from Matthew chapter 4, now chapter 26, we met so many different groups of people. As usual, we saw the disciple again and again. We see their lack of faith, but we can't blame them because we find ourselves in their faith, in their lifestyles. But Lord, we want to be like Mary. We want to know the meaning of the death of Jesus Christ for us. We want to remember his precious blood and his death. He's a sacrifice for us. So help us to remember that the rest of our lives. We pray, your Son, in Jesus Christ. Amen.